Welcome to the Be Kind Podcast with your host, Joe Kirchner, presented by the Animal Advocates of South Central Pennsylvania.
Welcome, everybody, to the Be Kind Podcast, part of the Animal Advocates' mission to create a more compassionate world for all living creatures, including frogs this week. I learned the other day that poison dart frogs are actually not deadly if you touch them, only deadly if you have an open wound. So if you see a poison dart frog, probably still shouldn't touch it, but if you do, you're not going to die immediately.
Don't put it in your boo-boo.
I am Joe Kirchner, president of Animal Advocates of South Central PA, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Mandy, one of our volunteers.
Hi, everybody.
And my lady friend, and then also John Beck on our board of directors. And we are so excited to have Nyjah on the show today to talk about all the amazing things she has going on. So thank you all for coming on, and welcome, Nyjah, to the Be Kind Podcast.
Thanks for inviting me, everyone. John, Joe, Mandy.
Yeah, there's a whole crew of us.
So without further ado, I like to ask the question that every vegan asks each other all the time is, what is your vegan journey?
My vegan journey started in 2005 when I relocated to Maryland. So I'm originally from New York, spent 22 years living in New York, born, raised, and then 10 years in New Jersey. When I relocated down to Maryland through company relocation, I used to work for Verizon Wireless. You know, when you go state to state, if you move state to state, you got to get a new doctor, a new dentist. So I had my physical and thought I was in the best health ever and found out that my cholesterol was very high. And if I didn't do something about it, then I would be placed on meds. So I was 33 at the time, and I'm holistic. I don't do drugs, no meds, none of that. I live a holistic lifestyle as much as I can. I do not want foreign objects in my body, and drugs is one of them. So I had to find out how to reduce cholesterol to avoid being prescribed drugs. And I did that by talking to Dr. Google and finding out that garlic pills and, you know, at that time, skim milk, because I didn't know anything about vegan, vegetarian, none of this stuff. But egg white, you know, things like that, that didn't have cholesterol until I met my husband, Gregory Brown, who had came into Verizon Wireless in 2006. And we were on the same management team. And this was a gentleman that was bringing his own lunch to work. Mm-hmm. A lot of people bring their own lunch to work, but he was bringing a vegan lunch to work, different type of tofus, different type of sauces. And because we were on the same team, it's noticeable when you ask questions, and he would educate me on what he was eating, why he was eating. There you go. That's the journey, you know, introduction to veganism and eating the vegan way. So fast forward to 2023, where we're at now, we have the Land of Kush restaurant, multi-award winning. We have Vegan Soul Fest that was an award winner. We have Maryland Vegan Restaurant Month now, which we're hoping to win an award one sometime. So that's the journey. I've learned a lot of the vegan behaviors through him, and he learned it through listening to a hip hop artist named KRS-One. So that's the journey.
Nice.
Amazing.
Wow. Congratulations on all your awards and accomplishments. That's quite impressive.
Yes, I married him. I volunteered and then I got married. Okay, Mandy?
No. Only been like four.
That's
people.
How it started, volunteering to assist.
No pressure, though.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of pressure. I'm trying to open a restaurant. Help me. Okay, now I'm just trying to find out about this vegan lifestyle. You're taking it way too far.
Well, you mentioned the restaurant industry. That's something that's really been, seems to be blowing up the past few years with all the different vegan restaurants and options in the food industry. And so as someone who's been in the food industry for a while, how have you seen veganism progress within restaurants specifically? And do you have anything you're really excited for in the future in terms of veganism within mainline dining establishments and restaurants?
Yes, I'm happy you asked that question, because before we opened up the Land of Kush in 2011, there was an establishment in Baltimore called the Yabba Pot. And Greg knew the chef, Chef Sky. She had that restaurant 5 years. He was actually an apprentice, and you know, she had a lot of raw foods, and you know, she had ribs there. And a lot of the locals gravitated towards her restaurant, especially those that were into the conscious lifestyle, vegan lifestyle, you know, Rastafarian, raw foods, all of that. Once we opened in 2011, I guess that was her time to transition out, because I think they stayed open about a year or so after we had opened, and then they had closed. And Landakush would be that one, when you're categorizing small Black businesses in Baltimore, we would be that one that would exist for several years. And then something happened. I don't know if it was because of the launch of Vegan Soul Fest in 2014, or just people were realizing that the plant movement, or they were educating themselves on the plant movement and how it impacted the environment and the health and the animal. There started to become this shift. And then you saw a lot of vegan restaurants opening in the city of Baltimore. So it was amazing, amazing to see. One was here with Liquid Earth. Liquid Earth has been in Baltimore for several years. So they were very few at that time. But once we opened, there was just like this explosion. It seemed like every year a restaurant was opening. So it was opening, closing, you know, so it was that whole trend of restaurants opening and closing. But now you come to Baltimore, there are so many, many different options, different cuisines, you name it. I mean, there's something for everyone here. And then you have your veg-friendly restaurants that are adding options to the menu. I'm not going to say that has anything to do with Maryland Vegan Restaurant Month, but you do see that happening, which is, it's amazing. So it's going up. People are demanding more options on a menu. And restaurants are seeing that there is an underserved market that they need to tap into, whether it's for revenue or whatever the reason is, revenue increase, whether it's their contribution to climate change, animal rights, or health, or just having options for people with dietary restrictions, period, end of story. Sometimes it's just that.
Yeah, I think that's something that we overlook a lot. And we have a few volunteers and board members in our organization who are firm believers that vegan food is a form of advocacy, because at the end of the day, when you promote veganism by through your dietary choices, you're showing people that it's a easy watch and eat, and making it more routine or normal or accepted or common for all these restaurants. And at the end of the day, the animals who we're saving don't particularly care your motivation. They're just extremely happy they're alive. So it's great to hear exciting news like that. I'm super happy that everything in your community seems to be trending that way as well.
Yes, we just need more across the state. I did on my Naja Speaks a couple of weeks ago. Who was it that came out? I think it was TripAdvisor came out with the list of top vegan restaurants in each state. And I couldn't believe that every state had a vegan restaurant. I'm thinking like, you know, there's just some state. Every state had an option. I'm like, whoa, this is the change we want to see. Now we got to just drill down to this, to cities.
Yeah, I actually saw that episode, and your excitement about that was just so heartwarming, and just, it was so great, because I'm on the same page with you. It was just like, wow, I can't believe there's like this big of a list. It's incredible.
Yeah. So when you wake up, I mean, I can't catch every single piece of news that's going on in the vegan and veg world. But when you see that, especially someone that likes to eat out at restaurants, I'm like, wow, every state.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to be able to
about the cities.
Travel and then eat something that's a specialty in that area that I want to go to Chicago and get a deep dish pizza. One thing I wanted to ask you, Naja, do you have a recipe, or maybe there's a vendor or a restaurant that you know of? I know Baltimore has a lake trout sandwich. Have you ever seen a vegan version anywhere?
No, but now that you mentioned it, Plant Burger, I would say Plant Burger. I go to Plant Burger in Columbia inside the Whole Foods market. They are the closest with the Save the Bay filet. I could tell you that right now.
Every time I go down there,
I get the Save the, and my whole family, so it was my daughter and my husband, we get the Save the Bay filet. I'm not a big burger person. My daughter and husband, they love burgers. So it's like, but I used to be a big fish sandwich eater. So if you want to impress me and you got a vegan fish sandwich, I'm going to go after it. So right now, they're my favorite.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anyone in South Central PA, Baltimore is not too far away. So take a trip down. Something else I'm really interested to hear about is the Black Veg Society and how that came about and what's currently going on with that organization, because it sounds like a really amazing group of people that I'm very excited to learn more about.
Yeah, so when we opened the restaurant in 2014, we had a lot of customers come in. People were so excited and happy that we were here in the community. We're a social enterprise. And when you think of Land and Kush, it's just not a restaurant. We are a social enterprise. People come here, sometimes they meet each other, and then they're often doing their own ventures and collaboration, which is cool because that's what it's about. You come here, break bread, and then you go off. Well, one of those customers had a Facebook group called Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland. And they were so impressed with how we were doing in our first couple of years. I think literally it was like the first year. They were like, I need you to take this page. You guys should moderate and administer this page because I'm getting ready to go to New Mexico and start another Black Veg. You know, this whole thing. And we were just starting our restaurant. So if anyone knows about the restaurant business, that first year is critical. The focus and marketing and attention needs to be on building the business, because easy come, easy go, grand opening, grand closing. So the focus was on the restaurant. So we had to say, you know, it's a lot going on right now. We really can't get into moderating that page, and we got to deal with Land and Kush. It's just too much. And I was the one dealing with that work. When 2014 came and we launched, co-created along with Brenda Sanders of Afro Vegan Society, we created Vegan Soul Fest. That's when the energy was like, hey, we have this whole base of people that we can promote to along with Land and Kush and just work that angle. And then at some point, the idea became, hey, why not start a nonprofit? It was Greg's idea. Like, you know, we should have a charitable arm of the restaurant because everybody was coming to us for free donations, you can't do all of that in a restaurant. There's already small margins as it is. I mean, we almost went broke doing all of that. So we had to take this idea and create a nonprofit. And that's when the Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland was birthed. So that's how it started. It started with a Facebook group, and then it became 501c3. And we would go out in the community and take commercial products that we would buy from Giant or Target or Walmart, stuff, items that people can buy and don't have to go to Whole Foods, and show them that you can eat this way and this is how it tastes, whether it's a plant-based milk, whether it's a tofurkey, deli slice, a cheese. So we did that for several years with the help of Veg Fund and a Welfare World. Thank you very much. And that's how Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland grew. And now we've branded to doing business as Black Veg Society because the base is not just in Maryland anymore. We're here, but I have connections in Texas. I have connections in Colorado. I have connections in PR now. Like, I have connections outside of this area. So we want to make sure people are aware that we can touch you wherever you are, especially after the pandemic, because people were doing online stuff. You couldn't do anything else anywhere. Right. So that's when the rebranding came and it became Black Veg Society.
We'll
that's
be amazing. Sure to include a link to your donate page in the show notes. So if anyone wants to support that work, they can hop on over and make a donation.
Please, please, please. Can I add something? We Absolutely. Did so much work under Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland that in 2019, Veg Fund recognized us at the National Animal Rights Conference. So, and we didn't even realize we were doing that many events. I think we did over 24 events in a span of 2 years. And I guess that was impressive for them. And we were recognized, a special ceremony at the conference. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I feel happy because we were just out there on a humble, just doing the work. That was it.
That's incredible.
Veg Fund people are great.
Yeah, they are. I'm going to backtrack just a second and talk about Land and Kush for a second. I've been there a few times and it's so good. I love it. Your mac and cheese. I'm kind of a mac and cheese connoisseur around here. Like, I'm kind of a big deal with my mac and cheese, but yours is so good and I love it. I just wanted to let you know that. But also, I had another question. I heard a rumor that Stevie Wonder comes there. Is this true?
Well, we became international when Stevie Wonder came here in 2014. So as soon, this was just on a whim. It wasn't planned. My understanding is he was Googling vegan restaurants and we got a phone call. I wasn't even here. I was in Poolsville, at the animal sanctuary out there with my daughter. And Greg calls as I'm on my way back up and says, yes, Stevie Wonder is here. I'm like, stop. So I'm trying to gun it, you know, get up there. It's time, you know, and as I pulled up, he's leaving out, and I think he's going next door to the hair salon, because there was a hair salon next door, and I'm just asking him, did you get the picture? Because, you know, I'm thinking PR, that's it.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I wasn't there when he was there. Greg got a good picture, so awesome. And then I'm laying up the next day, and he's back! He just came back!
Oh my God, see, your food's so good!
I'm just all relaxed in these, like, crazy, if you look at the picture of all of us, like, you can tell we were just up here relaxing, chilling, like, he's back! You know, so we had to run downstairs and just get the picture with them. And that was like the news found out, and then they were calling us.
Wow.
It just became, you know, this big thing. And we had a consultant at that time that says, yeah, take that and do a press release.
Oh,
and
for
sure. That's when I started getting into the press releases.
Ah, okay.
So one was already out and we just did another one.
Nice. That's so great. That is so great. Has he been back since, or?
No, but someone was telling us that, because I think he was doing a concert that year, later on in the year, and it wasn't even like around the time he was there. I think it was later on in the year, probably like November or fourth quarter. And he's like, yeah, Stevie Wonder shouted out the Land of Kush and he likes the rest. I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so.
Has KRS-One been there yet?
No, and I would love to surprise Greg with a visit from KRS-One. So
yeah,
KRS-One, if you're listening to this podcast, please show up at the Land of Kush, because my husband is your number one fan. He was up in Delaware. He saw KRS up in Delaware. He did a lecture up there.
Nice.
And so everybody in Delaware was at the library, so that was cool. But yeah, we're waiting for KRS-One.
That'd be so great. That'd be so great, for sure.
You mentioned this earlier a little bit, and say what you want about Facebook, their algorithm is on point, because I'm getting ads about Vegan Soul Fest all the time on my social media, and it looks amazing. So could you talk a little bit more about how that started and anything coming up for this year's Vegan Soul Fest?
Oh, yeah. You got enough time, because this is a long story.
So, bring it on.
So I mentioned that Brenda Sanders, who's the executive director, the founder and executive director of Afro Vegan Society. Before that, she was with a company, or she headed a company, Better Health, Better Life. And she came into the restaurant, I think it was 2014. And she was trying to work with us on catering for a conference that she was planning in October. So we were sitting in the back of the restaurant, you know, this is like a little cubby area, and we were talking about this conference and the things that Land of Kush could do and offer. And then we just got into this conversation about Veg Fest and, you know, the lack of culture. When I say culture, we're talking about, you know, our community culture not represented at these Veg Fests. A lot of times it's commercialized, it's commercial products. And we needed to produce something that really exemplified the true vegan culture of our community, because it's not all about buying these commercial products. A lot of it is, let's say, whole food, plant-based food. Some of it is like, I want to show my cultural garb or the crystals that I have on. So just a whole nother ideology. And then I just said, well, let's do it. Let's make the festival. We didn't never make a festival. We didn't know how to make it. We didn't know how to produce one. But it's like, don't talk about it. Let's be about it. So that year, we put together the inaugural Vegan Soul Fest in 3.5 months. Wow. And we thought it'd be this little shindig with 30 vendors and, you know, a few hundred attendees. I had a friend that owned a building on the corner not too far from us. And he's like, cool, we'll sponsor. Come on down and, you know, do what you got to do. But when we launched the announcement about this festival, it wasn't 30 vendors. That thing went up to 80 vendors. And it's like, okay, we don't have enough room for all of these people. What are we going to do? Wow. So we had to work with the city to get a permit to put the vendors around the block, because at that time there were no businesses. Baltimore was going through its revitalization. There were no businesses on this entire block around, like, we're talking about Howard Street to Mulberry and back of the building. It was just crazy. I'm like, okay, well, can we put all the vendors out there and around the building? How about that? And then everybody will fit. And it was approved. and we put a DJ on the corner, and it just became this big party, and the news showed up and coined it the food festival, the new food festival. So if we wanted to get out of it that year, we really could, because it was a new food festival. And there were about 1,500 people that showed up.
Wow.
They were on, like, it was an incredible, incredible day. So we couldn't do it there anymore. We had to move on to a college. And we spent 3 years at Baltimore City Community College until we grew out of that area. You know, I remember 1 year I looked up, because it's just so intense dealing with a festival and all those people and all those vendors. I took a breath 1 year and looked out. I'm like, my God, look at all those cars. Yeah, it was incredible.
Wow. So my first Veg Fest I ever went to was Soul Fest. It was the one where you started doing it at the college. And I was hooked. Like, it was just so amazing. I loved it so much. And there was so much good food. And everyone was so nice. It was great. It really was.
And it was free.
It was free.
So we're going to, because the story's not over. So it was free all the way up until the pandemic. So what happened with the pandemic is everything stopped. So we was planning for 2020, and look, March, you ain't planning for nothing, because everything shut down. Nobody's getting permits to do anything. Everybody cool out. And right. I was upset, obviously, because this is a yearly party. We're looking forward to it, but you can't do anything. And right. then the following year, I'm like, look, you know, if this pandemic takes too long, I'm going to get tired. I'm not going to want to do the festival. You know, it's a lot of work. It was getting to be a lot of work. We're talking about up to 16,000 people. And me and Brenda were just talking about getting an event management company to manage the whole thing. So when everything opened up in 2022, that's what we did. We got our little money together, you know, from grants, loans. We put our own money into all of this. And we got an event management company, and we were sold on the reimagined vegan food and music festival, because people were so locked in and they wanted to come out. You know, it was a great experience, very expensive, very high priced. So we didn't get the numbers we wanted in terms of attendees. But this year, we've taken it back and we're at over 11,000 tickets sold.
Wow.
So we're about to approach our numbers for a free festival with the added on VIP experience. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
amazing.
Headliners and all that type of stuff. So this is like, we're just going in a whole nother direction with this thing. We're getting industry attention. We're getting music production attention. We're getting attention that we didn't get when we were the Veg Fest for the community.
That's incredible.
Doing the math in my head, and that is a lot of resources going towards the vegan movement. So congrats, and thank you for all your work on that.
We appreciate it. And I'll speak for Brenda too. We appreciate it, and we need all the support, because a lot of the community was, you know, upset. They felt we was taking the community back. There is another festival coming up, community festival, that's being put on in Baltimore, where we're supporting that festival, the Vegan Block Party,
nice.
Making room for others to come in while we're transitioning into this new space. And it is a learning curve for us. It is new. It's different. There's a lot to learn. It's just more regulatory, more strict, more contracts, all that type of stuff.
Big time business.
More money,
scary
more problems,
too.
Right?
Scary business.
So when is Vegan Soul Fest this year?
And yeah.
Can people get tickets?
Yeah. Oh, that was another difference. We took the 1 day festival, and it's 2 days this year. It was 3 days last year, but the Friday kicked us in the butt, and we said, get rid of Friday. We're not doing that. It's crazy. So it's August 19th and August 20th. So Saturday and Sunday. And what we're doing here, we're bridging the gap between the worlds of non-vegans, because that's what I hear, funders and strategists and people in the movement. How do you reach the non-vegans? Well, in my community, you got to bring the music. And that's why we had the DJ at the first Vegan Soul Fest, because I'm Spanish, I'm Black. We got to have our party in there.
That's right.
So the music has to be part of our festival. So incorporating talent that people want to see, they want to hear, bringing that whole neo soul vibe, and your education from Tracy McWhirter and Dr. Mills and John Badass Vegan Lewis. You know, you get all that, and then keep everybody in that space. You locked in now. You can't get out. Now you have no choice but to sit down and listen to some of this stuff.
That's right.
Go back and forth for you. You're in. Once you get a ticket, you're in.
I love it.
Some people show up at Veg Fest, they want to shop, eat, and then goodbye. No, we're locking you in on this one.
Absolutely.
VegSoulFest.com.
After you're done donating to Black Veg Society, click on the next link in the show notes and get some tickets to Vegan Soul Fest coming up in a few weeks.
Thank you so much. Yeah. In the beginning, a lot of people didn't understand the strategy, but me and Brenda had to convince funders and supporters, like, look, we understand what we're doing in our community. It may not be, you know, what people like or what people feel, but we know our community better than anyone else. And if you're trying to get non-vegans seriously in one space, this is the program we need to deliver. And we need the VIP experience. That VIP experience, I would have never imagined that people want VIP experience, yeah, which you don't really see at a lot of the Veg Fest. It's serious, I'm telling you.
So if anyone's still listening at this point in the podcast and you really want to go Vegan Soul Fest and your price of admission is an issue, email us at bekindpodcast@gmail.com and we'll help you out. So test everyone out there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now we're coming up on the time allowed in our Zoom meeting. So we have about 5 minutes left. So, Naja, is there anything we didn't ask or anything you want to say before we sign off for the night?
Yes, please tune in to Naja Speaks at NajaSpeaks.com. I'm on there weekly at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, I have over, 300 interviews on there starting from the pandemic, April 2020 to be exact. So you can see the progression. Shout out to Jane Village Mitchell, who pushed me to get my own show because I contribute for Unchained TV. And during the pandemic, we weren't going out and doing a lot of live. So definitely want to shout out to her. But yes, NajaSpeaks.com. And let me know what you think. Share, like, comment, give me some feedback.
Well, I can testify that it's good stuff. I watch it all the time. So,
oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
How did you end up meeting Jane anyway? How did that?
Oh my God. Let me tell you something. Paige Parsons was out here 1 year when we were doing the summer Maryland Vegan Restaurant Weeks. That's when we were doing, I think it was 2 weeks at that time. And she said, you know, you would be good for Jane Unchained at that time. That was the brand. And I'm like, man, I don't need something else to do. I'm busy. Like, no, it's not going to be a lot of stuff. You just, you know, when you go somewhere, just go live and da da da. And that's how the connection was made. And, you know, nice. The first thing we did with Jane, once the pandemic started, we did the plant-powered Kamala. When Kamala Harris entered office, and that was so intense. So I've learned a lot from Jane. Jane, if you know, she's really intense. She's all about the animals and she's not afraid to give you any feedback. So blessings to her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
All right. Third link in the show notes then. Naja Speaks podcast. Right. And I have one last very important question before we sign off. Hummus or guac?
Guac. I love my avocado. Yes. Right? Yes, right? Guacamole. And you know, my husband Greg makes like the best guacamole in-house. You can't even get it at the restaurant. He is the bomb when it comes to making guacamole. So love it. I got my daughter addicted to avocado because of guacamole.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Still team hummus. So thank you so much again, Naja, for coming on. If anyone wants to get hold of you, how can they reach you?
Oh, on Instagram at @NajaSpeaks_vegansoul, at Naja Speaks on Twitter, and at Naja Speaks on Facebook.
If anyone wants to reach us, give us some feedback, propose future guests, asking questions, we're bekindpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you everyone for being on the show. Thank you for listening. And thank you, all you beautiful beings out there, for being there for the animals. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Blessings.
Thank you for listening to the Be Kind Podcast, presented by the Animal Advocates of South Central Pennsylvania.